1 minute till my class.
1 minute's perfect because we only need 2 minutes for an intro, and this is the BB Breakfast Recess intro. Good morning, BB. How are you doing? Are you excited? It's Friday.
I am literally joining my meet.
No, don't do that.
I told you 1 minute till my class.
1 minute till your class? What class is it?
It's science.
Science, oh.
Well, science can wait.
Science can't wait? What are you talking about?
What? You're the one who wanted me to do an intro.
That's true. But I didn't know it was going to harsh the science class.
Such a nerd.
I mean, if I knew it was going to play any part.
You're like, I would have been fine about religion class, but science?
That's a good point. Yeah, we can wait on that. Well, what time is it? Has it started yet?
It hasn't started yet.
It hasn't started. Okay, well, this is the intro for the San Carlos Computer Club from March 2nd. Does that sound right? 2021.
Good morning.
Oh, your class is starting. Was that your teacher?
That was my teacher.
Do you have your microphone on right now?
I have my microphone on.
Okay, guys, we gotta go. It's BB time for BB's class. This is just Scott Stimson, your host.
This is Bibiana Simpson, the daughter.
Saying tech on.
Tech on.
Until next week, let's let BB go to school. Thank you, BB.
You're welcome. Goodbye now.
Camera, never find the camera. And one time, it connected, and the picture wasn't very good. And I figured that it's got a loose wire.
That sounds reasonable.
And at first I thought there was no camera at all, but it connected one time with a bad picture, and so I bought this external camera.
Well, Paul, your camera looks really decent. Look at that. It's got to be at least 720p. I mean, it's really sharp.
It's 1080.
Nice.
But the thing is, it shows all my junk.
We don't want to see your junk.
Okay. Now, you know, on Zoom, I can fuzz out the background, but I don't know in this program if I can.
Yeah, you can.
Go ahead, Cheryl.
Change background.
Change background. And where do I find that? Here's little dots down here. More options.
Yep.
Change background.
This is a slightly blur.
There
you go. You're in the clouds now.
You can just do a slightly blur or a blur up at the top too, and they seem to work better than the clouds.
I'm going to switch microphones. You guys tell me which sounds better.
I have a question for Maggie when she turns on her microphone. Maggie, how's the reno going, and did you find a house cleaner to clean up the dust?
Oh, you've been reading the Viva board.
Yeah.
The dirty part is almost over, so we're making progress. And yes, Linda Gerber was very helpful. I haven't called her woman yet, but it's apparently a crew, which is what I want, because I want several people in here, clean it, and get out.
Testing, 1, 2, testing. Do I sound okay?
Yes, you do.
Excellent.
Anyway, thanks for asking, Cheryl. We're almost done with that part anyway. Then there's the painting.
Change layout, is it? No, change background.
Change background, yes.
I don't get change background.
It should be in the three dots. Should be listed right there. Change background is the fourth one down. You have whiteboard jam, which you've never used. Change layout.
When I've done it with my girls, it seems that like for our book club, some of them have it and some of them don't. It's got something to do with the size of the video card or something. I don't know.
Oh, you know, it's possible. But one of the biggest differences is whether you're on a mobile device or a PC.
Well, we're both on Windows 10, and Bill.
We're both Windows 10 on laptops, and I just went and looked at Cheryl's three-dot menu, and I don't have change background.
So, Bill, that could be like Cheryl's saying. That could be related to your video card. It could have something to do with your video drivers, special effects that you're not able to handle.
Did I just see a Winnie the Pooh cup?
Maggie,
what's on your cup?
Let me see your coffee cup again.
Maggie, you're on. Oh, there you go.
Okay, what?
Show us your coffee cup.
Oh, no.
No.
I thought it was Winnie the Pooh.
Well, I'm
just happy to see it's appropriate.
Yeah, this one is more shopping.
More shopping. That's great. That looks like it was made for you.
It was.
Mine's a chocolate Girardelli.
Oh, that's a Girardelli.
That's cool.
Girardelli.
That filled with hot chocolate and a shot of peppermint schnapps.
No, it's with a skinny latte with lots of cinnamon.
If you like cinnamon, you should get that Fireball whiskey. That is awesome stuff.
It is terrible.
It
love cinnamon.
So good.
That Jack Daniel's cinnamon is bad too. I don't like
I haven't
it.
Tried the Jack Daniel's. Paul's holding up what is that?
Jack in the Box.
Jack in the Box.
Okay. Yeah, we went yesterday for the first time since before Thanksgiving because we were afraid of contracting, you know. But
right.
So yesterday I got a free small iced coffee and a big coffee, and I saved this one for today.
Okay, Scott.
Where's Jack in the Box?
Yes, sir.
You're talking about appropriate. This is what passed for pornography in my father's day. This is a glass. He had two of them that were in his. They were in the buffet in the living room for years since I was a little kid. But this is the back.
That's really cool.
Ah, cool.
That's from the inside.
It immediately made me think of the pens that you could turn upside down and make the girl go naked.
Yeah, I had one of them too.
That's a nice glass.
That is. It's vintage now. Before it was inappropriate. Mm-hmm. Now it's vintage.
So somebody tell me something to watch on Netflix. I've run out of options and seems like there's just no science fiction. Sorry, Scott.
Well, my gosh, go to sccclub.org and look at each one of the previous posts. I've been keeping extensive notes on all our recommendations.
You're going to make me do that? Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, for the likes.
Maggie, one that's captured me, and I'm in series 3, and I'll finish it this week, but it's and it's Computer Club related. We talked about it last week. Halt and Catch Fire.
What? Oh, say
yeah.
it again?
Halt and Catch Fire.
Okay. Is Scott in it?
Sort of.
I've watched the whole series. Yeah, you'll see Scott from time to time sprinkled within the characters. You'll see how I was formed. It is quite literally my history.
Scott, how did you watch it down here?
Halt and Catch Fire?
Yes.
I probably watched it on Kodi.
Oh, I don't.
But I also think I watched a lot of it when I was up in the United States in Alaska on cable company.
So before we actually get started, you guys missed this horrific windstorm the other night before last. It was incredible.
Did you wake up to any damage?
I woke up all night long.
It was crazy. I felt like it was going to blow a wall over.
Well, I had to get I had moved pots off of my balcony ledge so they didn't blow off.
We have plants that are that were lush bushes that are now sticks.
Yeah.
I slept through that.
And then it switched kind of like the east. I mean, it was horrible. Horrible.
I don't remember if I've told you or not, but I do know that you know that I'm on Juan's X-Pro system, but I don't know if I told you or not that I have never fixed that dish on my roof, just tossed up there on the trailer, pointed at the... So after the windstorms, I come out and the dish has blown off the roof and it's dangling off the side of the roof.
Wow.
Our pseudo palapa thing. It's just all, we just toppled over the side of the house, side of the trailer.
And Carla's, it's swung the whole dish around. So rather than facing the towers, it was facing the opposite direction.
Oh, yeah, of course it would act like a sail. Yeah.
It was pretty scary.
Did it improve your reception when it blew off the roof?
You know, what's funny is that because I get my signal from the antenna that is mounted in the yard behind my property, it didn't make that big of a difference. I am so close to the source that what I get is what I get. It doesn't seem, sometimes I feel like I have to dial it in. But to answer your question, Fred, it took, I had to visually be aware of it because I was on internet in the morning. I woke up, I'm on internet doing my thing, whether it's high or low bandwidth, it could just be whatever I'm getting. And then I walk out to the office, I'm like, oh, I probably should fix that.
It was quite something. I have no idea what the speed of the winds were, but it was something. Coming off the mountains behind Scott and I, it was scary.
Can yeah, fairly intense. I wasn't scared for anything other than what we had left outside. And we have a shadow created by some material that I don't know the name of, that gardening shadow material. And it has already has a rip in it from previous storms. And so I expected to find a whole panel just ripped off and wasn't as bad as I was ready for. I don't know how to repair it except to replace it. So I'm just slowly watching it rip more and more and more.
How about a needle and thread?
Well, you know, this is that like rubbery material. It's... I think the reason that it ripped was because it's old and it's been in the sun so long that it's finally gotten fragile.
How about that magic stuff that you can, it seals anything?
I don't know. What is that stuff?
I don't know. I don't know if they have it down here. You see the ad on TV though. It's like you can waterproof a boat and all kinds of stuff with it.
You know what we need is a section in our meeting just for magic stuff.
Yes.
That glue, it laminates with infrared, I believe.
And morning,
it's
Dave.
Called bonding. It's bonding. Called bonding. B-O-N-D-I-C.
Ready to contribute to the magic stuff topics? Dave has gotten, what's it called, bonding?
B-O-N-D-I-C. It's really expensive because it comes in such small quantities.
Bonding.
But for some things, it seems to work fairly well because it hardens almost instantly. You apply the light to it, which causes the chemical reaction.
Is this the kind of technology that they're using for fillings now? Because it seems like when I go get a filling now, they fill my tooth with plastic. They pull out the old, rotten, 51-year-olds, falling apart metal filling, and they fill it up with some kind of plastic material and then shoot UV light in there to harden it up.
Wow.
I think it's the same type of stuff.
It sure looks that way, yeah. I don't think this would fix my problem, but this is cool tech.
Speaking of magic, I turned on captions, and so I'm seeing everything that's being said written out, but what I want is... for Scott to speak Spanish, and let me see if it translates into Spanish.
Okay, pero tengo que pensar de qué quiero decir. En español, puedo decir buenos días.
Quite of it is, it's Spanglish. It's mixing things.
It's mixing things, but it will pick up. It's because of my outrageous English accent, I'm sure.
No, that is speaking English and Spanish at the same time. Well, not at the same time, but consecutively, and that's what it's saying.
Here, I can make sure it's 100% correct. Are you ready? Tacos.
Okay. No, wait.
Burritos. Okay. Salsa.
No, it's tacos and frijoles.
Tacos and frijoles. I couldn't even say it wrong. Frijoles.
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 Tortillas.
Tortillas.
How about jalapenos?
Yeah.
Jalapenos. That's a good one, Bill. Never even tried to pronounce that wrong.
It used to be a TV ad on there. Something about, and the one girl, it ended up with something about jalapenos.
There was a Frito-Lay commercial I remember from being a kid, the Frito Bandito. You guys remember that?
No.
Frito Bandito.
Yeah.
Well, we've still got about 8 minutes till we officially start.
Okay, Scott, I got a wind story if I can.
Oh, sure.
If I'm allowed.
In case you're interested, I've already started recording, but I haven't hit the stream button yet.
I have a question for you guys about the windstorm.
So your story will be on the podcast, but it won't be on YouTube.
Okay. I used to farm in southern Alberta where we have what's called the Chinook winds that come down off the mountains.
Sure.
And I was an irrigation, a sprinkler irrigation farmer. So we had what were called wheel lines. Wheel lines are long aluminum tubes about 5 inches in diameter with wheels on them that are powered, and they roll across the field as when you're irrigating. And they are deadly. The wind is deadly on those things. They're just like great big kites. And more than once, I've woken up in the morning and looked out in my field, and I'd have two of these in one field, and they'd look like spaghetti. They'd be just, one would get to the other, and then they'd just tumble, and they'd just wrapped right up. There's, you know, $10,000 each sitting there wrapped up like spaghetti. That's my story.
But what is it that was wrapped up like spaghetti?
Irrigation.
They're sprinkler irrigation things. You see them, if you travel up through here, you know, farm country, irrigation farm country, you'll see them out there. They're about 7 foot wheels, the spoked wheels made out of steel and 5-inch aluminum pipe.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Sprinklers all along. Okay. And
they're like sprinklers on wagon wheels.
Yep. Exactly. And they used to be worth about $10,000 a set, like for one line. And there was, you know, more than once I've seen two of them just literally roped. They just twisted together. The wind just takes them. There's no stopping them.
And so they end up looking like a tumbleweed at the side of the paddock?
Not quite. No,
I'm mixing my international expressions.
Yeah, well, they were long ropes, like a quarter mile long, and they'd be twisted together. They'd just be all roped up.
What a mess.
Not in the ball. They're in a long, long rope.
You should have laid them against the fence line.
Well, if you had a fence line on the right side of the field, or you happen to have them, if you're out in the middle of the field with them while you're working, as long as you're full of water, those aluminum pipes are full of water when you're using them. But if you're not using them, they're empty, and then they're movable. You're okay when there's water in them. The other interesting thing is working on them in the summer at night, or when the thunderstorm's coming through, and you've basically got your butt up against a quarter mile long lightning rod. That'll put a little pucker in your butt, I'll tell you.
They're better than hand lines.
I was going to say, you've created a matrix. Instead of having a single point to hit you with lightning, you've created a whole network to hit you with. A web of lightning.
A web of lightning. Well, I remember changing them one time, and it was a real lightning storm, and we had shut them off to empty them out. You got to empty them out to move them. And once you got them empty, you're, like I say, you're vulnerable, and it was blowing. We could not stop. We had to keep going, and the lightning was hitting sometimes, you know, 400 or 500 yards away. I remember it hitting twice in that close to the system, and I had to keep moving it. Either that or lose it. It was going to go into the scrap pile. That's the beauty and fun of farming. There are certain things you're committed to.
What were you irrigating?
Oh, everything. We had mixed grain. At one time we had carrots. My brothers and I used to farm 70 acres of carrots. That's a lot of carrots. It's a lot of miles to ride a carrot digger.
Did you have bunnies around?
You know, bunnies don't eat carrots. It's a fallacy.
So I have a question about that windstorm the other night. Was it the same night as the amazing sunset? I've been seeing pictures of the sunset from Saturday or Sunday night, one of the two.
Morning, Chester.
Good morning.
Chester.
Buenos dias.
Buenos dias. Oh, how's the captioning going here?
How's what?
This was Sunday. It was the windstorm. Is that right?
Judy, Stuff? Did you see that sunset?
I saw pictures of it. I didn't see it. Mm. You could see the dust blowing out to the north of the house, way up in the canyon, and it was really something. That was early on, so that's probably why the sunset was pretty.
I have just hit the streaming button. We're still just a moment away from starting, but I wanted to quickly just add Kathleen, Fred, Dave, and James, I don't see any video from you guys. Is that me or is it you? And it's totally okay if it's you.
It comes and goes. It's a performance hit if you show
it. I turn mine off and on, so it's because I'm intentionally turning it off.
Well, since I take this time before we officially start to make sure everything's dialed in and the bandwidths are working correctly, and I know that what Google Meet will do is it'll drop the video, sacrifice the video for the audio if somebody's having bandwidth problems, either on your end or on my end. And there were so many turned off, I just wanted to make sure it wasn't an issue with my end.
No,
I'm about half off right now. James looks like he's having a hard time because he left again.
Yeah, he just disappeared, didn't he?
Yeah.
And Bill's video's off. I'm assuming he turned it off.
Well, I was just trying to see if it made a difference on, like, I got three on my screen that are no video. So I turned my video off to see if it made a difference, and it didn't.
You know what I'm remembering at one time, and this wouldn't be me, but this would be for one of you guys. If you're having trouble bringing in video, we learned at one of our earlier meetings that if you use that false background, it takes up bandwidth or processing power. And so if you're finding you're not seeing the video or it's sacrificing video, it might be just using that blur or using your own picture in the background.
Yeah, why bother looking at having the video turned on, because it doesn't add that much and it impacts performance for everyone.
Well, thank you for your analytical evaluation of our situation. Yeah, but I can't see your smiling face. All right,
it's
all right. Well,
that much.
It's 10 o'clock, so we're going to call this picture. Started. What's that? Say again, Dave.
Show the dog. He's always smiling.
There you go. A nice dog picture would be good, as long as he's cute. I am Scott Stimson from International Computer Solutions here Tuesday morning once again with the San Carlos Computer Club, where we get together, here comes Irving, each week and talk about the day's tech topics while checking in with each other and trying to entertain each and every one of us. Welcome. Thank you for joining. As per usual, anyone's welcome to join us, and we welcome any topics, and we are fairly unorganized and rudderless. However, I do have a list of topics I've brought with me, more than typical, and some of you have actually sent me some topics ahead of time, so I've got some stuff here myself. How's everybody doing? Yay.
Just fine. Now I'm in my house.
Doing
in
fine.
San Carlos.
Good morning.
That's awesome.
Happy anniversary.
Good morning, Irving. I see Jim made it too.
Good morning.
Oh, wait, no, Jim didn't make
Scott.
It.
Scott.
Yes, sir.
Scott. I don't know if everybody knows, but our little friend Robin from Computer Club passed away a week ago.
Oh, thank you, Bill, for saying that. I meant to mention it, and it slipped my mind. But yes, did we have any details? Was she in San Carlos at the time?
Yeah, she lived there permanently.
So she passed away here in San Carlos.
Yes, but I don't believe there was no mention of COVID in it. I think. It just, something age-related finally caught up to her.
Sure.
But there was a really nice, her daughter put out a really nice announcement. I'm not sure, Cheryl, where is that announcement?
Well, I've seen it in a couple of places. It's on the Viva bulletin board, but it was also on San Carlos Residents Facebook group.
Yeah.
You know, I'll make a note to look that up. If you find it, send me the link, and I'll link to it on today's meeting. So
I shared it.
Robin hadn't been well for Robin hadn't been well for quite a while. I don't know if you guys remember, about a year ago, she got really sick and missed a couple of months of computer club. I saw her about a week before she passed away, and she looked weak. She was still her same personality, but she looked very weak.
She had been falling quite a bit, too, the last time I saw her. She said, oh, I've been taking a few pills.
Cheryl, I had forgotten you posted that to the Computer Club Facebook page. So if somebody's looking for that link, you can find it there. Robin always really impressed me. She's such a little woman, and she looked so frail, and you'd sit and have a conversation with her, and she's like one of the toughest people I know. It's well, I'm going to miss her a lot.
I remember talking to her one time, when she was younger, her and her were driving Euclid rock trucks in Alaska.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, I cannot imagine little Robin up in the cab of one of those things. But she didn't have any problem.
Carolyn heard about it in What's Up San Carlos. And
a lot of nice compliments from Viva.
Mm-hmm. Oh, maybe it was through Elena. Elena is the manager of Pekalai, where she lived. And Carolyn said she'd be willing to forward it, so maybe she should just send it to Scott, because there was a blurb came out through the Tekalai.
Yeah, if you have any write-ups, I know I have that link on Facebook, and I'll put that in today's meeting too. But if you find anything that you'd like to share with us, just hand it to me, and I'll put it on today's meeting as well.
I love the photos. They just were so cool of her. How she was through the years. The photos were very nice.
Oh, now you're going to make me go over there right now and find them. We're talking about her.
I'm on the Facebook page, but I don't know how to share it to this.
Oh, you could do the presentation button down at the bottom, and we could all follow your presentation.
Okay, just a minute.
You're going faster than I am. I can't bring it up fast enough.
How do I do that? Oh. Present now.
And then it's going to ask you, what do you want to present? Either a screen or a tab.
What is that squeak in the background?
Yeah, there is some kind of random noise in the background.
There it is.
There we go.
So this is what I wrote, but then I think down here, in loving memory of my mother, and she talks about
right
where she grew up and her driving truck. And
Cheryl, why don't you flip through the pictures real quick? Let us see some photos of Robin as we're thinking about her.
Yeah, there we go.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, she's a beautiful. Look at there. That's the one we know. Look at that.
Wow.
Holy smokes.
Yeah. Marilyn Monroe look.
She must have been really popular.
That's her daughter.
Is her daughter around San Carlos much? Or?
She was here for a bit. I saw them at Tortugas having dinner.
Has anyone talked to Dag recently?
No.
They had just become such good friends that we kind of lost track of both of them when we went to a virtual format.
I kept mentioning it to them, but they weren't going to do that. So
that's a nice picture. Oh, Robin, we sure miss you. He was just a fun spirit to bring to the club meetings.
I know.
I'm sorry, say again. Yacht club.
Oh, yeah, she was active in the yacht club?
Yes, very active.
Yeah, Jan Raines posted a lot of stuff about her on the Viva bulletin board, how active she was with the yacht club for many years. And also about her bringing her mom down to live where Dag was actually living. Her mom had lived there before she passed.
Wow. She's really had a lot of experience here in San Carlos.
Yeah. Really nice.
And Alaska.
Yeah, she did a really good job. This is all from her daughter. And more recent ones, but also her past. I know I have one of them at Computer Club,
that's
but I just couldn't find it.
Is that her family?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So two kids? Is it two? That's a question.
I believe
she
so.
Have two children? Yeah.
Yes, I think a son and a daughter, and then I don't know how many grandchildren it says.
This is a grandson.
Yeah. No, back to the beginning.
Oh, very nice.
It says in her thing about her children. Dag. Two grandsons, son Lewis. Oh, two daughters and a son.
Oh, yeah. Susan and Linda.
Yeah.
Well, that was Solemn. Now I don't know how to move on to something else.
Well, Dag is a Canadian, isn't he? He may not be there.
Is he Canadian?
I'm not aware that he was Canadian. I don't think so.
I didn't know that, but I thought that he lived there full time.
I think so.
He was originally Norwegian.
Yeah.
Right.
And he's got Alaskan experience, spent a lot of time in Alaska, what I understand. Well, I wonder what he's doing. I don't even know if he's in San Carlos or has been to San Carlos since all this.
Yes, he has. I've seen him at Barracuda Bob.
Well, Judy, if you see him again, remind him again he's welcome to join us online. We'd be happy to see him.
Okay. Did you hear that?
No, missed Maggie, that. What was
Maggie said he's at Elmar.
Yes.
Our most weekend.
Sunday. Yeah.
Elmar?
No, Sundays.
Ah, okay.
Mm-hmm. He and Robin, they actually reserved a table for he and Robin because they were such regulars.
Oh,
for
the that's
right in the corner.
Sunday, but yeah, yeah.
So we know exactly where to find him. Well, Maggie, I'm glad you're with us. I am going to transition into another topic, and on my list forever has been your iOS navigation through email. And last we talked, you had trouble with Safari getting onto your phone. Did you ever resolve that?
I restored had to restore it to factory, and everything is fine.
Now, when you restored it to factory, my last suggestion was don't do the backup. So did you not do the backup, or did you?
It automatically backed up everything because when it reopened, everything was there.
All right.
Including
well, I'm glad
Safari,
that worked.
Which worked.
Yeah, yeah.
It did. Thank you.
So now my question.
And for Cheryl, I'm sorry.
From weeks ago, and I'll reiterate as quickly as I can, your concern was you were in mail reading email messages and you would click on a hyperlink. It would take you to your web browser. You'd be able to enjoy that page and there'd be a back button to take you back to your email. Does that work again? I see
yes.
Your smiles. Oh, okay.
It does.
There's a bit of an audio video delay.
It worked.
Oh, awesome. Okay. So it's
yes,
back.
It works again. Yes.
Awesome. That's great. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to check this off my list because we've solved that problem.
Yay. The only thing I haven't done is follow up with the vocabulary for the police. And to be honest, I'm kind of unmotivated because there are too many changes too frequently. So it may never happen, Cheryl.
Well, you know, maybe the suggestion for the police has less to do with something formal like that and something more informal, like just cheap, durable smartphones, so that they can come up with the solutions themselves. As long as you have the processing power in your hand, they may just choose whatever works best for them. It might be showing a person a picture or going into Google Translate and translating it. But what really would matter is that they have a phone that they feel comfortable with when they interact with what are you, subjects? Or you're not criminals. I guess you're suspects, whatever it might be. But there is this market of cell phones I've seen on Amazon, the United States, and they're between $75 to $150. And what they're really selling is that they're waterproof. They've got durable cases. They've got long batteries, and they can perform those smartphone functions. So maybe they're not the best cameras in the world. We consider our cell phones now as our main cameras. So when you go and pay $800 for a smartphone, a large portion of that price is going to this premium camera. If that's not your concern, then you can drop far away from that premium price and you can get down into this under $200 price. And this strange market has rose up. I've been following it on Amazon. I mean, I haven't read any articles, but this is just my own investigations. And there's a whole slew of no-name, durable smartphones being sold at under $150 that you can drop in a lake, that you can kick across the floor. That's my bit on the police thing.
Do they do have a camera? It's just not the quality.
I do that with my iPhone.
Well, when you do it with a $150 phone, it feels a lot different than when you do it with an $800 to $1,200 phone. Yeah, they do have cameras. I mean, they're basic smartphones. What they've done, though, is that they've used slower processors and more basic components, and then they focused on durability.
You look at the new SE, iPhone SE?
Yes.
No, it's $400. I got mine for $350 at Costco. You know, it's not the 12, but that's fine. It's a smaller size. And
Mom's just sent me a text message saying, I think you're on the YouTube video, Mom, which you're welcome to just watch us, but if you want to be part of the conversation, go to the Google Meet.
Anyway, that's my thought. I find it very good. It works well. It's using the same software as the 12 is.
I think those SEs are great. They're a great size, too. I mean, it's just really comfortable size. But I was thinking in terms when I was saying this about these rock-bottom prices, in terms of the police project, where you're concerned about being bilingual in the streets, maybe what should be focused more on is making sure they have more on. That was funny. You should focus more on providing them with that computing power out there.
Yeah. Google Translate seems to be the answer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe do it again, but right now, no.
And on Google Translate, you can push the little button that says conversation, and then you can talk back and forth. It's not like one-sided.
Yeah, it sure sounds like it's about getting that technology out there in the field, however people feel most comfortable working with it. But as long as you've got the power there, it's just amazing, isn't it, where you've got this technology all around you. My kids' assignments are completely different. Because they're no longer based on what you know. It's about what you can find, and there's so much knowledge to be found. So how much did you find? Her teachers do things like type the topic into Google, and they see the first pages that come up, and you can bet they're not expecting somebody to copy and paste those first few pages into whatever it is they're working on. So much knowledge, so much power. All at your fingertips if you got it. Mom has joined us. You successfully found us, Mom.
Well, we have been on actually listening to you, but for some reason we couldn't get the camera or the microphone, so we were going to have to be silent partners. Well, that wouldn't do, so I had to shut down and start all over again. So,
well, it is happening to me as I tried to get in. I couldn't see or hear anything from you guys, but I had asked to come in 3 times, I think.
Well, this is where I can hear all of you. There was no way you knew I was on.
Sometimes that's right. We didn't know. But hey, Scott, I did. Certainly.
Scott, who is the black screen that has a microphone muted?
Who is that? What?
The black screen that has
that's a Irving. Microphone muted. Irving, can you hear us?
His microphone is muted.
Yeah. His microphone is muted, but he could unmute it and talk to us. I'm curious why it's black. It's almost like that's his user icon.
He didn't permit the camera, maybe.
That's really odd. Because normally you get this circle.
I see a circle with a green circle with an eye in it.
Oh,
with Irving?
Yeah.
Here, if you look at me.
Me too.
Hi, Irving. Hey. We were just talking about how you're showing up as a black square.
Did I show up last week?
I could review the tapes.
That was still last week, Kirby.
That's a long memory for us guys, right?
Well, on,
let me see.
It's definitely definitely not necessary, Irving. We were just curious if you were with us. You had such a different looking icon than the rest of the screen. But who, Judy, you were saying you saw an eye in a circle like we would expect. I don't know why it's a black square on my screen.
Well, now it's a black square because he's projecting some sort of video. So it's a totally black screen. So his camera is just filming black. It's like he has a cap over it or something. But
I'm gonna turn it off. Camera. I'm gonna turn it off and on.
Okay. Do you have a shutter on your camera, maybe?
It's a computer. It's a pretty new computer, so I assume that it's.
Is it possible there's something in front of the camera physically?
No.
It still looks like it's a black screen, like it's off or something. But
Irving, if you can see my screen, you might go into settings and just verify under the camera that you have your camera set the way you want. I don't know if you can see my screen.
I see you, yes.
I don't know where the settings are.
So the settings, it's on the three-dot menu, the more options, and it's the bottom one. It says settings. Oh. And then under settings, it gives you sound audio settings is the first one. Video settings is the second. And then there's camera.
The video on and off, you see the eye come and go.
So it is a camera thing.
Like ThinkPads have.
Dave, I think you're right. It's the software thinks it's set a camera, but the camera that's set isn't working.
Other thing, Scott, you were there for two. You had two logins or something going for a while. And
yes.
And now that you just won, the sound isn't great from you. I'm not sure what's going on.
Oh, no, you can't hear me okay?
You're breaking up a lot.
Is that across the board?
No, not for me.
Nope. I hear you just fine.
Great.
Yeah. Everything I can see on my end would make me think I'm sounding good. Ooh, but that's somebody's speakers. I'm hearing
Catherine's.
Me on somebody's speakers.
That was Kate's or Catherine's when she unmuted everything crazy.
Well, should
I ask Jane a question?
Sure. Who are you asking?
I think it was last week or the week before. I believe James had a question about how to store a large quantity of, and I was curious how he finally. Did what he was trying to do.
Well, I'm not sure that we have. We've been trying to cut down on the number of pictures by getting rid of the bad ones that as a start. We're just trying to make more room in the computer, and we have a thumb drive that we're trying to use, but it's too small. So we're going to try and get a larger one. So that's where we're at right now.
James. If I could make a suggestion,
yeah.
I think you ought to get, if you don't want to buy into a subscription service, I would get two very large thumb drives. I would move your iTunes, or it's Photos, right? It's Apple Photos. I would move the Photos library over, and then I would duplicate that, and then I would put one of those USB drives in a safe place, because that's your photo albums. And then the other one would travel with you, so you have access to your photos.
Oh, yeah.
So if you...
But they would have exactly the same thing on.
Yeah, for the most part. Occasionally, you'll want to update your backup. But if you're not interested in buying an off-site subscription backup service, I think that's probably the most reasonable thing to do, is just budget that money for the largest USB drives you can get. And I'm thinking of convenience. I mean, one of them could be a spinning disk, but the problem with spinning disks is that over time they get jostled around, they wear out over time. I really like the USB flash drives, and you can get them at 512 gigabytes. And you, if you're working off of your Macintosh, it's hard to imagine you're dealing with photos that goes beyond half a terabyte of photos. So you could.
No.
And then photos on the Macintosh make it fairly simple for you to, say, use the library on the flash drive. So you could work off of that flash drive without having to store it in your computer.
And the computer wouldn't just make it all of a sudden, like if we attach a camera or anything else with it, just like a blam, it just takes everything out of there and puts it into photos. So, and that's what we're trying to move out. So what I just have my photo, it is in the flash drive, you're putting it back into
Yeah, what I'm thinking is what the Mac operating system and the Photos program does is it allows you to set a photo library that you're using. And so you can maintain that library on any secondary storage. So it doesn't need to reside inside the computer. It can reside in the flash drive. So when you plug a camera in, you'll want to also make sure you have the flash drive plugged in. You'll want to be in the Photos program. It'll be reading from the flash drive. And when you plug the camera in, it will be transferring those over to the flash drive.
Great.
This is, I'm thinking of this purely as a way to get to free up the space on the internal drive on your computer. Because this isn't.
Yeah, that was our.
This isn't a solution for securing photos, except for my suggestion you get two of them, and then you would just periodically make a copy of that flash drive and leave that in a safe place. At the very least, you wouldn't have to worry about photo albums any older than the last time you backed up to the other flash drive.
So there's only one USB port on this.
Damn it. Of course there is. Only one.
Oh, no, there's two.
Yeah,
there's
Macintoshes.
There's two.
Okay. No, there's two. Well, the new ones have one, unless you're thinking about it. You can't buy them without just one. I'm sorry, Irving, what was that?
Am I still invisible?
We can hear you.
You are. You are the blank man.
What?
And this is Cheryl holding up a hub that you can get. The dongle world. Cheryl, you're muted.
And what does that do?
One USB port.
USB.
Yeah. Got it, Cheryl.
Oh, yeah.
That's the answer.
Yeah, if you need more USB ports.
Would it work if I just had the one port and the two thumb drives into those?
Yeah. Okay, good. Hold on, wait, would what work?
Yeah.
Could I, because at some point you want to synchronize the two of them so that, you know, you could
have them both plugged into the hub there and they would both show up. And the synchronizing, I like your language, but it would be quite literally copying the new library over to the old space, like replacing the old library with the new library.
Oh, yeah.
And that's fine, except for in that movement, just as long as you're aware that in that movement, that's the only copy you have. And so, if you really want to protect yourself against any possible errors, you'd have a third device.
Fail safe.
You know, that's why this cloud storage stuff is just becoming so much more popular. I'm listening to myself on somebody's speaker. But that's the reason it's gotten so popular. A terabyte of space and a full, up-to-date Microsoft Office suite for $69 a year. You're going to spend more than that in storage media probably. If you get two, like I was suggesting, the two, they'll last as long as the last, whereas the Microsoft stuff will last for a year, and then you'll have to renew. Fred, you've got some real kind of windy sounds coming through your mic, so I'm going to mute you.
There you go.
Nothing personal, man. Nothing personal. Just...
Must be my stomach.
Well,
I'm curious there.
Go ahead, Chester.
There are 13 people that are online, but my screen only shows 9. Is there a way to make it so I could see everyone?
Yeah, Chester, we've done this before. I'll do it again. If you go down to the more options, that 3 dots that are stacked on top of each other in the lower right hand, click on that. And on mine, it's the second one down, change layout. And then if you're looking on my screen down at the, yeah, you can either be auto, tiled. I'm on tiled, and I've brought it all the way over to 49 maximum.
I think.
I wonder what happens if we get more, if we get 50 people.
I would go to tiled.
Well, that
takes care of it.
Thanks. Yeah. Or as I suggest in the past, you could just pin me because I'm broadcasting all of us together. Should we move on? Do we have any recommendations for today? Not that I have a real order, but I've come with recommendations, if anyone's interested. I come with 2 recommendations. What was that, Cheryl?
I shared something to the Computer Club Facebook one, and it's the new technology for people moving throughout crowded streets and stuff. They're like buses, but they're on these extended legs, and they move across like traffic jams and things like this, and they had like 8 legs, and each one would pick up if it had to go over top of something. It was really kind of a cool video. Anyways, I don't know if it's going to be the new, not a subway system, but a rapid transit for the future. I thought it was kind of interesting.
Yeah, I'm looking for it right now. I've actually seen this video before. Was it? Did you share it in the group or on the page?
On the Facebook page.
Right now. No, I don't see it on the – where did it go? Because I did see it when you shared it.
Here.
And unfortunately, I didn't copy a link of it, or I would just have it in my back pocket to pull out. Well, I'll add a link to that on today's show so you guys can see what Cheryl's talking about. Oh, do you have it? There we go.
It's just got music, so I'll turn that off. But, yeah, so.
Yeah, this is awesome.
So look at that.
It gives examples of what you would do if it had an impact with a car. It's got so many stabilizing legs that you watch throughout this video. It'll lift up legs to get them out of the way.
It goes down low to go underneath overpasses, and I assume to unload people.
What happens to the cars that are underneath it when it goes down?
I imagine it's got sensors to make sure it doesn't go down on top of a car.
Yeah, it seems to have lots of sensors.
Oh, my gosh, those legs. Oh, that's amazing.
Isn't it fun?
Oh, I found it. I found it. Here it is. Apparently, I have a different view of the San Carlos Computer Club Facebook page than people viewing it.
So
I have to go to a news feed.
So this is a public transportation plan or idea?
I don't know. It's just something somebody's posted. It looks European to me, but.
Do you think it's real?
I think they scammed it off the Jetsons.
Yeah, I think
I think it's just concept stuff, right? It's like concept cars. Look at that. That can't be real. Yeah. Not yet, at least.
No. Well, there must be a big bar in the middle, or else nobody can see anything in there.
You get a half a dozen teenagers jumping up and down on one side of that.
Oh, I can see them launching it. Uh-oh. You missed all that. Wonderful. That big bar. Wreck, that would have been handy, huh?
These are great concepts for public transport.
For years, they've been talking about building a high-speed just a minute, I'll stop. Sorry. a high-speed train between Calgary and Edmonton, our two major cities in our province. And I think something like that would be pretty cool.
Right, yeah, absolutely.
Very expensive.
I would guess.
Anybody else brought any recommendations? Anything we all need to know about? These are TV, movies, books, websites, podcasts, or apps that you feel you're enjoying that the rest of us might enjoy.
Scott?
Bill and then Maggie?
Did you get the one I sent to you about the $1 million digital video that's like 10 seconds long.
$1 million video that's 10 seconds long.
It's a digital video that somebody produced, something like, well, it wouldn't be dang, but it's literally a digital video clip that's that a guy bought for some $66,000 and just sold it again for $6.5 million. It's the new thing in art.
I don't know anything about it, Bill.
I sent it's in Facebook Messenger. I sent it to you.
Okay.
Have a look there.
Oh, you know, you did send me something that I couldn't open. One of your last things. I got the deep fake. I was going to bring that up a little bit later. But there was something that followed that, and for some reason I couldn't open it at all.
Let me look for it, see if I can find it again.
Yeah, because that sounds cool.
It was awesome.
Well, if you guys are interested in my recommendations.
Maggie was
sure
next.
Maggie is next. Thank you, Cheryl. Bad host.
Passing. I'm passing.
Oh, you are? Okay.
Yeah, you go right ahead.
Did I hurt your feelings?
Judy,
I'm sorry.
No. It was totally off subject. So you're not ready to get off yet. So Judy, read.
Okay. Anyone else want to bring up something? Yeah, or I'll bring up mine. James, what you got? Nothing? Judy, nothing? Okay. So.
Well, I'm looking for a better movie maker in Windows machine because Scott sent me a link to the one that he recommended. And I'll tell you, Scott, it was the most frustrating 4 hours of my life. I found it not user-friendly. My computer ended up, I was trying to watch on Google Chrome, a video from the company as how to get started and how to bring in pictures and everything. It locked up. Google Chrome was not responding. My file manager was not responding. The software crashed. It was terrible. So I'm looking for an easier one.
Well, let me say I haven't had any of those experiences with the software. But one thing about the software is it's got so many features in it that it is a little cumbersome to pick up and start using. It will absolutely do everything you can imagine, but it is. It's a beast. It's got so many. And a lot of us just need something simple, something to just trim a piece of video out, put an audio overlay on it, like a talk over on it. And there isn't anything that is included with Windows anymore.
I use CyberLink Power Director.
Say again.
CyberLink Power Director. This is a piece of software that used to be distributed with DVD burners. Power Director. Here it is.
It'll burn DVDs.
That stable release 16 was released in 2020. So the most recent version is from September 2020.
I have number 14. I just haven't updated because I didn't need to. But
Chester, one of the things that I recently discovered last time we talked about these video softwares is I thought I had bought this software outright for $20. But it turns out they have a subscription mechanism. And so it's free. It's got all these features for free. But there's a couple of features that if you get into some advanced video editing, you need audio editing features and things like that. And I finally broke down and paid for it. I didn't discover until 2 years later that they were intending to charge me around $20 every year. And I only found out 2 years into it after they changed their online market portal. And I think what they discovered was a bunch of us that had only made one payment. And so they said, hey, if you want to keep this up to date, you're going to have to make this next payment, take this $5 discount for the next subscription fee. And what it really is, I mean, it's a full-fledged piece of software on your computer, but what it does is it turns on more features when you pay the subscription fee. So if you don't pay the subscription fee, then those things that it's not like having an old copy of Photoshop or an old copy of of office, those features get turned back off. No matter
you paid. I would go on eBay and pick up similar to a 14 that I have, which is software. I know that Photoshop has done the same thing, and I just continue to use the old version because it
the old version
I want it to do. And
yeah, I think that's the paradigm that all these are trying to move us towards. And as long as all the features you need are still in the old software, that works pretty good. I think as soon as you find some feature like this software I'm using, you could use it for years without having to turn on the pro features because there's so many features. You could do all this production with it. But the moment you need that pro feature, $20, and now it's available for a year. I'm seeing that this PowerDirector 365, it looks like it's taken its name from Office 365.
That's the
and
latest.
It is. I'm sorry?
That's the latest.
And it looks like it is a subscription model as well. It's $51.99 a year. Oh, wait, is that pesos or dollars? I'm looking at this. I just realized I'm looking at this in Latin America. Here's the U.S. Because we all think in U.S.
Windows used to have Movie Maker. And you say that they don't have it anymore, or what? What happened to
them? There's no Movie Maker anymore. They moved it into its live offerings, and then they stopped making live available to you after Windows 7. There's this really weird gray world that we live in, where if you upgraded Windows 7 to Windows 10 and it had Movie Maker, then you've been given the opportunity to bring it with you. But there's no way to install it.
No.
Yeah, so PowerDirector 365 is $5 a month. It's $4.33 a month. There's a bunch of pricing plans here. You can buy it outright. Lifetime license for – this is great. They've got two tiers, Ultra and Ultimate. Ultra is $100 and Ultimate is $140. $51.99 a year for the subscription model.
Can you present that, Scott?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Thanks.
Bring that up.
Okay, Scott, I sent it in the messages for the Google Meet is that video clip when you get a chance.
Oh, cool.
Okay. Can you...
I think I'll go on eBay and see what's there for PowerDirector and get back to you.
Yeah. Yeah, because really the reason you'd get into a subscription model is because they've come up with that killer feature that they won't offer. And the whole reason they'll do that is because they need you in the subscription model. The whole economy is going to run on micropayments.
Okay. Well, I really like iMovie. I like it, but the files that I want to use are on my Windows machine, and I have a hard time getting them over to the I stuff. So
I ended up getting into this other software. I can bring that up too.
Mm-hmm.
I have not done enough video processing to know, I mean, to give you an opinion of whether this is better than PowerDirector. I know that both these pieces of software have been around for a long time. They've been bundled in different packages. And one of the things I didn't like about mine is I didn't know it was a subscription model. And I just clicked on the buy, and we're gonna see. See, nothing here says that it's a subscription. Let's go back to this again. This whole page talks about this software. And here it is down here. Buy now VSDC video player. And this is, like, let me double check this because I don't want to state incorrectly. Script. Yeah, there's one word. It's right here next to it. It says to get more information on the subscription. The only place I found on the website they mention it's a subscription. So that was kind of frustrating. But I do like it. It's a very powerful program, and I don't know how it would compare to PowerDirector, though I know PowerDirector has a great history in video production, personal video production. I got into this, Cheryl, for the same reason. I've got an old Macintosh. I love iMovie. I don't like the newer versions of iMovie. I think they're weighted too heavy. They need new computers to be able to really take advantage of all those tools. But I didn't have anything on the Windows side of things. I'm going to stop presenting. I didn't have anything on the Windows side of things, and that's what I went looking for, and that's how I ended up in this. What video are we about to look at, Bill?
It's the one about the
this is my video.
$1 million
it's
video,
good, right?
Ah, well, okay.
It's a little boring. Can't you?
Let's get this ad out of here. You guys see this okay?
A 10-second piece of video art of what appears to be a giant Donald.
Where did the present go? There we go. Shouldn't have turned this off so quick. Real-time video production. Come on. Well, if we're going to go this far, maybe I should put some audio to be ready.
In October of 2020, a 10-second piece of video art of what appears to be a giant Donald Trump collapsed on the ground and covered in slogans amid an otherwise idyllic setting was purchased by Miami-based art collector Pablo Rodriguez Frail for $67,000. Last week, he sold it for $6.6 million. The video by digital artist Beeple, whose real name is Mike Winkleman, was authenticated by blockchain, which serves as a digital signature to certify who owns it and that it is the original work. It's a new type of digital asset known as a non-fungible token, or NFT, that has exploded in popularity as enthusiasts and investors scramble to spend enormous sums of money on items that only exist online. Rodriguez Frail explained what he thinks set this piece of digital content apart and made it worth its hefty price tag.
Same argument as, you know, you can go into the Louvre and take a picture of the Mona Lisa and you can have it there, but it doesn't have any value because it doesn't have the provenance or the history of the work. Again, the reality here is that this is very, very valuable because of who is behind. It's a full career of a generation career in this space and being the best of the best.
Examples of NFTs range from digital artworks and sports cards to pieces of land in virtual environments. The start of the rush for NFTs has been linked with the launch of the NBA's Top Shot website, which allows users to buy and trade NFTs in the form of video highlights of games. 5 months after its launch, the platform says it has over 100,000 buyers and nearly $250 million in sales. The majority of sales take place in the site's peer-to-peer marketplace.
Yeah, I think the most interesting part is the first part. I never really watched this one.
Nate Hart is a national.
Yeah, I can't even begin to tell you about this. This is just crazy to think about because they're making a Bitcoin-like art asset, right? How do you even begin to think about that? That really is, the value is in its uniqueness, which you can do with a ledger that keeps track of, I mean, like everything is stamped. So something's altered, that's stamped as well. So everything's very unique about that particular asset. It's a digital asset and everything about it is unique. It's not, you can't have a copy of it because of its uniqueness. So there's some kind of intrinsic value that's derived from it. I don't get it. Interesting world where the only thing that I do see that I get out of it is it's one more of these things that's enticing us to spend money on air and ones and zeros. Like they're promoting this idea of art. I'm sorry, Irvin, go right ahead.
I just want to comment on that. We had this discussion a year or two ago about Bitcoin. And
yes.
To me, it looks exactly the same.
It does. It reminds me of what Theo would say. Bitcoin is a intangible commodity. It's a value sink that can be traded, but you can't touch it. And that's kind of how this feels to me. Is it's just there's value. You're deriving value out of this. You're deriving value from its uniqueness. But it's all still digital.
But you believe in Bitcoin, and I think it's total nonsense.
Well, I do believe in Bitcoin as a function. What's that, Judy? You're out of here?
Is anybody else having...
I'm sorry, Judy, you're breaking up.
I know. I said, is anybody else having audio?
Well, I'm getting echoes in mine.
Me too.
Me too.
Echoes. Oh, sorry. That's me after the video. See, people have to say something or I'll forget to change this. Give me a second. Sorry about that. That's totally me.
Change it. Change it, Scott.
Thank you. Thank you. I will.
Back on eBay.
Back on.
There we go. Okay, how's that?
Stop that.
Echo.
Is it gone?
I think that whole thing about the that art is something to do with the difference between price and value. And as long as people value it, of course, it then gets a price. But as soon as the people don't value it, the price goes to zero. You know,
what I understand from Bitcoin is you could buy this and stick it on a USB drive and lose it. No matter what it costs, it is this intangible item that has derived some value, and you could lose it just like you could lose your Bitcoin wallet. That's right. You don't have a copy of this. That uniqueness is what's deriving its value. And when you sell this like a framed piece of art, and it derives value because there is no copy of it. The next copy of it is. Oh, I'm sorry, James. Go ahead.
It seems like an investing strategy that's based on the bigger fool theory. You can always find somebody who will pay more for it.
Very similar to what's going on with GameStop stock. But
yeah, but he did find, he bought it for what, 60,000 and something, and sold it for how much did he sell it for?
A ridiculous amount. 6.6 million, it says here.
Yeah, right.
How a 10-second video clip sold. Whoever's paying 6.6 for 10 seconds of video, regardless of the format, has too much money on their hands. I've got a feeling those are the people worried about getting taxed.
That's right.
I have two items to report on.
Go ahead, Chester. What you got?
One, I went on eBay, and CyberLink Power Director software is for sale all over the place.
Older versions of it. 19 is the latest, but you're talking about like 14, 15, 16.
Yeah, right. I'm going to go back and buy 19.
Did you find it as a better price than what they've got online?
Well, I haven't even checked it online for 19, but it's certainly cheap enough on eBay.
19 Ultra is $100 and Ultimate is $140.
Well, I think there are used ones for a lot less than that.
Yeah.
And as to the second thing I was going to mention is that Jan has gotten involved with Bitcoin, just playing around, and she has purchased some kind of a hardware that gives her an account. And just in a few days, she's done very well.
as an investment, that's what she's doing?
Yeah, as an investment. It all depends on the future as to where the world goes in replacing the U.S. dollar as a worldwide currency. That's the potential of what is happening. And China would love that.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of the world would love us having something of value based on something other than our country's currency. I think we're the only ones that are concerned about that change.
That's the end of my report.
Well, thank you, Chester. We are still in recommendations, though. Anybody got a recommendation? I've got a couple of recommendations I've been trying to get out. Have you guys ever watched The Unforgotten? I'm just going forward.
Well, is that outer space or is it real world?
It's real world. It's BBC, or it's British crime drama.
Unforgotten.
It's a series based on cold cases, a couple of detectives that keep finding themselves each season with some set of bones that's 20 years old.
What platform is it on?
Well, you know, it was created on ITV, but I think you can watch it on Netflix. Let's see if I can find it real quick. It must not be Netflix because, Netflix. Well, let me do Just Watch here and see what comes up. But it's great. It's in its fourth season. But what's interesting is they stopped for like 2 years and they've just come out with the fourth season. Yuya and I really enjoyed the first two seasons, and we saw the new season came out, and so we were going to start watching that and realized we'd never watched the third season. So I haven't done the jump yet, that two-year hump between the third season and the fourth season. So I can't speak to the quality of that, but the first three seasons are excellent. It's dry English drama, so you have lots of dialogue, lots of thinking, lots of investigation going on. What is that?
Is it one of your children?
No, I don't think so. Nobody's jumped on. If you can see my screen right now, this is it's on Prime. The first three seasons are on Prime. But we've really enjoyed it because it's not fantastic at all. There isn't the CSI zoom again, lab results back in 30 seconds. Everything sparkles with illumination. It's none of that sensationalized Jerry Bruckheimer style of police investigation. This is much more, you get the feeling this is much more a reality approach to police investigation. And so we really enjoyed the last three seasons, and we're about to start the fourth season. Like I said, there's that gap. So it'll be interesting to see what they do with that gap. And then the other recommendation that I come with is a podcast that I listened to this last week. I want to recommend the podcast, which is Radio Labs. I don't know if you've heard of Radio Labs. It is a New York Public Radio broadcasting, I don't know what to call it, a network, I guess. I mean, they all fall under public radio, but Radio Labs does a number of very interesting in-depth researched for radio programs, and they produce them with high-quality audio effects. And the most recent one I listened to was called The Ceremony. And I thought you guys would all find this interesting because this is really the story, a little bit about Bitcoin, but the beginning of a Bitcoin similar currency, and the what was involved in creating the original creation of it. See, I wrote something down here. Is an audio real life drama about Bitcoin, a new cryptocurrency, and the covert steps taken in its creation. Those are my words. I wrote them earlier so I wouldn't stumble like I am now. So it was very interesting. Apparently back in 2016, they started this new currency, a Bitcoin type currency. I'm hoping I can see the name here in the writing, but I guess I didn't write it down anymore. What it's called wasn't really the scope of the article. What it really was the steps that they went through to make the creation of this crypto algorithm born this currency, the security steps they took, how they got the computers, the people that they brought together to do this, because they were all hemispheres of the world. Came together, different representatives came together in a unplanned hotel room with off-the-shelf hardware that was built just moments before they were going to spin up the crypto, so that they would know that there was no chance that anyone could get a hold of these keys, because these keys would be that they would be able to control the networks. And so the idea was to make it as anonymous, as covert as possible, I guess is the best way I could describe it. And Radio Lab does such a good job, even with the most dry of topics, of making it engaging with special effects and audio clips with interviews. If you've never listened to a Radio Lab presentation, any one of them would hook you. You could watch or you could listen to Radio Labs Presents Paint Drying, and it would be the most impressive paint drying podcast you'd ever heard before. And those are my recommendations for today. Would anybody like to add or have questions?
I have recently subscribed to public broadcasting, and that puts you in the premier when you subscribe. It costs me $5 a month. But
Fred, could you say again what that gives you as you when you present? We've still got some strange audio coming from your end.
It's totally quiet here.
Yeah, I think it's got to have something to do with your microphone. But you sound great 80% of the time, and then there's this swishing, airy sound that comes on top of what you're saying. But tell us again, what do you get when you pay for a subscription to public broadcasting?
Well, there's programs like I watched Miss Scarlet and the Duke, and before I signed up, I watched the first three shows, and you got to the fourth show, and unless you sign up for premium, you can't watch the rest of the shows. There's only six,
but so you can
if you've been watching it on public broadcasting, you can get it on public broadcasting.
Who's ringing?
Me.
Oh. I was going to say, how come somebody's not muting that? It's Fred.
it's
the guy
away.
We're talking to.
Anyway,
well,
what I found out after I signed up with...
Hey, Fred, tell me, is this PBS you're talking about?
Yes, sir. It is PBS, and there's all kinds of stuff on it. Anyway, the best place, if you're going to sign up, is sign up with... I think it's WGBH, Boston, that produces most different programs for public broadcasting. I signed up with Oregon Public Radio and finally figured out how to get into WGBS, and I'm surprised at the different programs that are available. I find them. Number one, they don't have commercials, which is great. And
oh wow,
many of 32 seasons. And
Fred, we've really got some noise artifacts coming across. Everybody's hearing that, right? I'm not crazy. That's yeah.
It sounds like he's running his hand across the mic.
That's yeah, it really does.
Me. It sounds like he's got something like he's moving his hand or he's moving something over the microphone.
Fiddling with the mic. That's what it sounds like. And we're not saying that's what you're doing, but that's what it sounds like is happening.
Okay, I'll put this down and see if it continues. Anyway, for $5 a month, you get full access. And I believe in public broadcasting anyway. So
I see here on GBH they've got a donate. I'm looking for TV streaming. I'm just looking for some price model here.
Oh, yeah, all I got in was $5 a month, and it comes off of a credit card.
And you chose a station, like one of the public broadcasting stations?
I did.
Okay,
but it looks like
place in it where you can sit there and pick what station you want to. It asks for what's your local station, and then asks for your zip code. So every time I put my zip code in, I had a choice of Tacoma or Portland. So
choose your station. I'm looking at it. I'm going to put in my last zip code, Alaska Public Media. I'm on PBS, 8K, spotlighted videos, look for life on Mars. Oh, I see what's going on. Is there really, they're using PBS as a platform. This almost looks like, well, here you can see right here, it almost looks like the same format. Here's GBH and here's PBS in Alaska.
Okay. If you go up to the top up there, at least, it'll sit there and ask you, where is it? And you don't have it yet. Settings, anyway. And you can pick your...
There's what's called an 8K password. See, Well, as you were talking about this, Fred, my mind was thinking about this. Public broadcasting is all about getting support locally.
Yeah.
And well, it looks like what they've done is they've taken the same assets and made them available locally. Well, so you can donate to your radio station.
Not all of the local radio stations have purchased the assets that, what is it? WETA is one of them, and WGBH, I think, is the other one. Those are the two that create many of these programs that you watch locally. But you don't get all of them from the local one. But I found WGBH, I can get almost everything I want.
Oh, I hear what you're saying. Okay. Well, that's very interesting. I can't figure out how to become a premium broadband.
How do what?
Doesn't want me to do it without a VPN. So for more information on this, I think we're going to have experiences happening in the United States to know what's going on for people with VPNs.
I listen to KRCC, which is my local public radio station down here, without a VPN.
Yeah, I actually I get the Alaskan Public News as a podcast with no problems. Yeah, but I think what I'm referring to is the programming that you would see on TV as a streaming service, specifically is what it won't let me do without a VPN.
I wonder if Epic Browser.
Say that again, Judy.
I said, I wonder if Epic Browser works.
Oh, yeah. Or what about Opera? Well, you know what? I can't open any more stuff on my computer without having a performance problem.
Anyway, stuff up. Next week. Everybody have a good week. Bye.
See you next week, Judy. Thank you for being here.
Bye-bye.
I do have some topics that we haven't gone through, if anybody's interested.
I'm interested.
Bill sent me a topic on deep fake technology being used to bring dead relatives back to life. That's actually the headline of it. Did you look at this, Bill? I was looking at this morning. I thought this was great. It's a little freaky.
It's cool. You can animate old photographs.
Well, just go up to the video that they use. There.
You guys see all that? So they took an old photo, was submitted to them. It says here that what they do is they've got an algorithm that spends some time cleaning up that original photo, and then it uses AI to add this kind of mimicry. So these are all expressions. I'm sorry, Bill, go ahead.
It reminds me of Harry Potter and the posters and stuff, you know, that all move.
Oh, yeah, you're right, it does.
That's what it reminded me of as soon as I saw it. But it wasn't obvious whether this was available or whatever. I couldn't see anything that said. That
people have been doing things. Here's a Beethoven portrait that's been animated using the same thing. Users can upload old photographs of deceased relatives, and the system automatically enhances the image before applying a deep fake algorithm to deliver a short animated video of the subject. It, also from the article, for those wanting to experiment with what it feels like seeing deceased relatives come back to life and smile, MyHeritage offers a limited amount of watermarked animations free. This is what we didn't talk about in this article. MyHeritage, I think it's a genealogy website, has made this one of the features of that website. And so they're giving away a free version of this that you can upload photos to and get these kinds of effects from, and they'll put a watermark on it. Oh, in fact, in this example, you can see the watermark in the lower left-hand corner, the lower right-hand corner. Here's one of Charles Darwin. This is a portrait, like Bill was talking about, like from Harry Potter. That's a little creepy. It says here, while broader access to this feature, of course, will come at a price. So they're going to charge some extra for using this MyHeritage. What this got me thinking about was if you're not aware of it, deep fakes are a big deal on the internet. It is hard to tell from this But we do have an issue where fake news can be created. And there's some famous Obama videos out there that he didn't do, that somebody made like this using deep fake technology. And most recently, what's been going viral on the internet are Tom Cruise deep fake videos. And if you wanted to have your mind blown a little bit and entertain for 5 minutes, do a Tom Cruise fake search on the internet, and you will find fake Tom Cruise videos. I'm going to bring up a Daily Blast video here where they are talking about this better than I could, but then they show examples of it, which are stunning.
Has he? So the Count Deep Tom Cruise has been posting videos featuring what looks like the Mission Impossible star. Wow, there he is taking a swing on a golf course. Here it is. In reality, the videos are likely deep fakes of the actor, which is when an image is digitally replaced on another person. You be the judge. Watch.
I'm going to show you some magic. I mean, it's all the real thing.
Whoa, we're officially in the future.
Dude!
Here's real Tom on the left, fake Tom on the right. Can you see the difference? That's crazy. This scares me. The technology today could set someone up for such a dangerous fall where what if you don't know?
What if I've always thought this, what if it's like the nuclear code situation? I'm not just saying this could send people to war. I mean, I know I'm kind of sounding crazy.
No, that's like the far end of the line.
But that is the extreme. Yeah. It's not just one person. It's a country, because you have whoever the president is manipulating their mouth saying, I give the okay. I mean, that's the far end of this, I think.
Oh, and I think a lot of people talk about that. I was actually thinking that
really
in my head too, because they're getting so.
Anyway, if you want to see a
good, they're still
great example
right now,
of this deep fake technology.
That's
this Tom Cruise
so
stuff
did
is
have a president
all over the
like
internet,
that,
right?
And you did declare
that
some
holds
sort
power,
of,
man.
But there's a lot of.
I'm afraid I'm jamming up my computer. I'm trying to do too many things here at once.
No, it's not working, Scott.
So did you not get to see it at all?
It's the picture's frozen and there's no sound.
Scott, you.
I've just turned it all off. No, maybe it has something to do with the quality of the video. I'm not going to attempt it again. I will put the link on today's meeting. I've tried it twice and for some reason it's not working well for you guys. So I will put a link to it on today's meeting so you can check it out. There's something going on over here. I'm watching as my bandwidth is
maybe
starting to go up and down. Say that again, Fred.
It all seems to be.
Maybe we can make a fake one of Trump telling the truth.
Everything will probably crash.
Nobody would believe him.
That's right.
Scott, you need to leave. Scott, something happens when you present. It tells us that you joined.
I say that again, Cheryl. I'm sorry, you're breaking up. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Your audio screwed up.
Oh, the audio again. Damn it.
Yeah.
We're having one of these days where I'm stumbling over myself. I'm sorry. I keep forgetting that if we want to do this, I need a better way to switch over to something and share the audio with you guys. We might be looking for a different platform in the future. It may not stay Google Meet. I know Zoom is much more friendly with some of this stuff.
I have a topic.
Go ahead, Paul. Yeah, let's hear a topic.
Okay. This is low tech.
Okay.
I don't know if you see it yet.
No, we see your background image blurring through. Oh.
Turn off your background.
It's a silicone keyboard cover.
Silicone keyboard cover, yeah. And so it's liquid proof. You buy them on Amazon and they're specific to your model computer.
I recently was working on a Macintosh. Somebody was using one of those covers and the manufacturer did such a precise job that I the whole time I'm using the computer, I'm not even aware that I'm using the silicone cover. It came when I wanted to do some like turn it over, do some diagnostics on it, and it slipped off. I'm like, oh, that's right. This isn't the keyboard.
You see,
what's the idea? Just to keep.
You see, I've moved to my house in San Carlos. My picture.
Yes.
Yes.
You're enjoying the back. Yeah, enjoying the beach life.
That's actually a European Mediterranean home.
Oh, you're not up on the Caracol?
No.
Jim,
they're strange looking. Those aren't our islands.
Were you trying to say something, Jim?
No, just that I like the view from Paul's balcony there.
That's right. We should all be joining Paul for coffee. Oh, this is funny. My activity monitor is telling me to get up and move around. Maybe that's a sign we've all been sitting here too long. That might be our new shut-off time. Something has happened on my end where things are just not leaving my computer correctly. I don't know what's going on. But all of a sudden, my bandwidth is very low and my computer is working really hard at doing nothing. I'm going to have to spend some time troubleshooting it later today.
Yeah, your sound has been kind of crackly all day.
Yeah.
At my end.
Yeah, we've had some real audio problems today.
Well, all the best. Hey,
can I give you guys just two more quick topics? Do you got to go, Jim? I got yeah, two things.
I'm heading off, and March came in like a lamb here, so we're wary for the end of the month.
Well, we're definitely, we'll see you next week. It's definitely, we're definitely over. We've been here for a long time, and so we can call the meeting to an end. I don't have anything I can't save until next week. I might share, I don't know if any of you are using Kodi. I use Kodi. There's a new version of Kodi out. If you want to experiment with it, I had a horrible experience with it. If you have any interest in Kodi 19, be ready to just blow away your current Kodi installation. I'd be happy to talk more about that next week.
I have a question, Scott.
Sure, Irving.
Well, like yourself, I got that Smart DNS that you installed, if you recall.
And did you say Smart DNS?
Yeah. And I didn't realize at the time, they automatically billed me for 2 more years. In the meantime, I bought ExpressVPN.
2 more years.
Yeah. Well, but it's okay. But I'd like to use it. And I tried to install it, and it's asking me for some technical stuff. How difficult is it to install?
Well,
or to sign back in on it?
Well, the way Smart DNS works is that you need to make a modification to your router for your DNS address. So that's the only thing that's somewhat complicated. Is
and
you,
that's
you
what's
have
stopping
to,
me. Yeah.
Yeah. But Irving, you know what? I could probably help you do that remotely. I probably wouldn't even have to come over to your place. I could probably get into your computer and help you do it remotely.
Okay. That'll work.
Okay. Yeah. Do you want to? I'll send you an email and set up a time.
Okay.
That sounds good. Does anybody have any other things you want to bring up before we call this meeting to a close? I've got topics sure. I can save for next week. Irving, go ahead.
I'll get back in, Bill. Go ahead.
Okay. I just wanted to say that I'm a brand new Linux user. Very frustrated. I still can't get anything to install on this thing, but I think I'm making progress. I'm not sure.
So
I'll report back.
Did you not get the ExpressVPN to run?
Well, I did, only somehow I updated it or something, and it disappeared again. And now I have not yet succeeded in getting it back, but I'm going to go back through it again. It looks like it installed. But I still had. I don't see it anywhere again. But I'm going to go back through our messenger thread and see if I can get it to work.
Yeah, as far as that software went, the only thing that was a little discombobulating is that they wanted you to work from the command line. They didn't have a graphic interface, except for the plugin you might install in your driver in your browser.
Well, my question is. Is it just this version of Linux?
techniques that's this difficult to work with? Like, it keeps thinking it's going to go to Discover and install it, only it always comes up with error messages.
Yeah, there's something going on with this latest version. I think I mentioned to you, I need to install it for myself because there's so many people having trouble with this version. I don't understand what's going on. But Discover is its app store. You might just give up on Elubuntu and go straight to Ubuntu.
Well, I think that's what I'm on now. I think when I updated, I went to Ubuntu. And that's giving me something different. It's still giving me an error message. Unresolved something or other, I don't know. But
make a note of the error message because we can at least we can do a Google search on that.
Yeah, well, I have. I've worked it back and forth, and I get frustrated, and then I go shoot some pool, and I come back. So I get my exercise out.
Well, that freshness is grouper.
And anyway, well, that's it.
Forest fish.
Yeah,
if anybody's interested in doing more Linux stuff, please let me know. Maybe this isn't the right group to get into
we
Linux topics.
More like salmon like we had last week, the sushi.
But
not great.
But if there was any interest in doing Linux on old computers and stuff, we could have a separate meeting for that. I would be interested in that.
I would be interested in that.
All right. Well, Bill, I think we got two members so far.
Well, I'll log in in two places and we'll have three.
All right. That's it. I'll do my phone, my tablet, and my computer. That way we'll feel like we have a robust meeting. I often feel like talking to myself, okay. Make sure I have intelligent conversations. And so that's what we'll do for this Linux meeting.
Okay.
I've tried doing some different Linux installs to trying to get old clunker computers to work. And one computer, I never got to work any version of Linux, even though it said you should be able to do certain things, which tended to get fairly technical, I will say. And I would think overall, this group is not a group for using Linux. I think it's just too detailed and too many little tidbits that you need to memorize in my mind.
It's all about how much patience and learning you want to do, because Linux is really about self-driving. It's not about people working hard to make sure you understand how it works. It's about you working hard to understand how it works. Linux wouldn't exist if it wasn't for the internet, because you need a community of people all dedicated to the same goal to make it work. That's my way of agreeing with you, Dave. I think most people don't want to, they don't have the patience, and there are tools that work that are much easier to use.
And the support is not really great. You can look up stuff lots of different places, but you'll find a lot of outdated information. And since the web pages don't automatically date stuff, you have to discover that it's not current information and you've done the wrong thing.
Dave, can I add to that? Because what you're describing perfectly is how Linux communities work. But I would also add, you find a lot of ego. When you go to look for help, you get a lot of responses like, how come you're so dumb you can't figure this out? Instead of actually helping people. And you get a lot of examples that are intentionally have typos in them.
Yeah.
And it's just classic Linux community. It's like, if you can't see the typos, maybe you shouldn't be here.
Yeah. Roy down here in San Carlos probably would be willing to help people if they need it. You know who I'm talking about?
You're talking about Roy, the TV guy?
No.
The SOB guy.
Yeah. Yeah. South of the border guy. Yeah, I haven't seen him in years.
Oh, he's around. Well,
he's around. He switched totally to Linux. He's living kind of behind San Carlos Dino.
Well, Dave, why don't you mention to him that Bill and I are having these conversations about doing a Linux meeting? Maybe he'd be interested in joining us.
He's done some Linux teaching with some of the people in town about a year and a half ago when people got together.
I have a friend that if you decide to do a Linux meeting, he's been into he was into Unix back in the 70s, so he's got some background.
Well, it's definitely the same. My theory is Linux exists because it's in use so many spots that you don't realize. Like, that's what's running in your Roku box and your Fire Stick and things like all these little toys that you have.
You're right. I actually think it exists for two things, and one of them is that. One of them is because it was so available that it was used for all these products. It's also on the desktop. It's the way that people can be developers without having developer gear. It's the way, I mean, really, it's giving third world countries access to the kind of resources that they typically wouldn't have access to.
Yeah, the best use, I think, for this group is if you've got an old clunker computer, you can do something like Mint on it, and it works pretty similar to Windows with some added frustrations, but less than some other versions, let's say.
You know what? That's it. Bill, I hope you're still listening on your headsets there, because Mint might be the distribution to try out. That one really has kind of like a Macintosh look and feel to it, but it's a hand-holding operating system.
I'll give it a shot. I need something to cut my teeth on to get, you know, like it seems fairly overwhelming in Ubuntu. So, you know, I'll go to something more simplified to get the feel of it and then work my way back in. I'm really interested in the whole concept. Now, the other thing I did mention to you a while ago, that I do a...
See you, Paul. This is the end of the meeting. We just can't seem to wrap it up.
just a quick one. The speed test I run on both of my laptops. And the one laptop, I'm still getting 15 MPS download. And on the Linux system, I get 120, 110 all the time. I have no idea why there's a difference. They're both running off the same router.
Did you try cable? I can't remember if I asked you that.
I can try it again. I can't remember what happened. I don't think it helped on the slower machine, but I'll do it again. It's just a matter of plugging it in.
Yeah, I can't imagine if you're getting the same slow response even with a cable, there isn't much left. There's something about that machine that's not able to go that fast.
Yeah, well, it is the older machine that's going slower.
Even the older machine, you would expect to get, I mean, if your network is able to handle up to 100 megabits a second, that's the bare minimum you'd expect from a cable.
Yeah, like it shouldn't be overwhelming. Just the intermittent download test shouldn't overwhelm this machine. It shouldn't.
Right.
And I'm not running. I shut everything else all down, and it's still is this thing. Anyway,
well, and speed tests, like speedtest.net, does a good job of sending packets regardless of the traffic in your network and evaluating how fast you're going. Yeah, I'm sorry, Bill, go ahead.
That's the one I'm using, speedtest.net.
Yeah. So, like, what I've had, I've got older computers I might run speed test on, and it'll freeze with the graphics, and it'll go slow loading things. But when it comes to the test, it does a very accurate result.
Yeah. Oh, the third machine I tried on is my iPhone, and it'll run up at 110 along with the Linux machine. It's the other one, the older one, that won't come up with that speed.
Could be his interface.
Yeah, except if he's doing speedtest.net, even though the interface gets goofy, it seems to give an accurate result.
It could be the adapter that he's using as one of the old internet protocols, you know, rather than the current stuff.
Well, Dave, that would make sense if we were strictly Wi-Fi. That's why I say you ought to put a cable on it, because 15 years, that hasn't changed.
Well, but the adapter could be old too. You know, even the internet, the whole computer's old. But if the computer has built-in Wi-Fi, it's not the problem.
It could be.
Yeah, the computer has built-in.
It's built-in Wi-Fi. I don't have an adapter.
Okay, so it could be. It's new enough that it's got the support for the current Wi-Fi.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Is if it's got Wi-Fi built into it, then it should be new enough that you should be able to get those, even if you're doing it from a cable, you should be able to get those up to 100. Actually, a gigabyte has become so standard that I wouldn't be surprised if it had a gigabyte adapter. But if it's older, then maybe it's only got a 10-100 adapter. If you got 100, though, if you got approaching 100 on your network, then through a cable, you'd expect to be able to test it on your computer at that.
Yeah. Or the cable going through a switch box or something hub.
Yeah. I mean, the other thought is some actual damage of the computer. Like maybe there's some ground loop, some kind of noise feedback that is affecting its ability to process network information. Like the packet information's getting garbaged up just because of some grounding problem with the computer.
Could be that the card he's got is only a 10 meg card and pushing 15 meg. But
well, again, he's been doing Wi-Fi. And so what's the slowest card he could have for Wi-Fi would be a 54 megabits per second card, given the age. I think that's right. My gosh, it's been so long since I've thought about it, but I think that's right. So you would expect to be getting something like that through Wi-Fi, but he's getting more in the teens when he should be getting more 80, 90. You would think that it would max out at 40, 45. If he was using one of those old Wi-Fi cards. Anyway. Right now we're just rehashing the same thing.
Okay, I'm going to play with it some more. I'll check back next week.
Yeah, give us an update. We'll probably talk before next week, Bill. Feel free to share with me anything you find out. And I am going to officially call this meeting.
Oh, Scott, I just want to finish up what I was going to say before.
Oh, please go ahead, Irving.
Yeah, okay. So when you do get on my computer remote, remember in the summer we tried to resolve a problem I had with email? I would get an email on my laptop, but it wouldn't go to my desktop and kind of thing.
I remember it, yeah.
Maybe you look at that issue and also check out to see if you can remotely, if my camera is working on this computer.
Okay, that sounds good, Irving.
Okay, thanks.
I am busy this afternoon. Do you want to just do this right now? I mean, we could set up an appointment I'm opening up my calendar. It's opening slowly. Oh my gosh. I'm glad I've opened it up because I realized that I am late for an appointment. Yes, so I gotta go.
We gotta do it before the end of April, okay?
Okay, Irving, I'm gonna send you an email. I'm gonna shoot for tomorrow morning.
Tomorrow is Wednesday. I'm fishing.
Oh, okay. Well, how about Thursday morning at 10 o'clock?
Are we gonna go to the breakfast club? That's not good either. Possibly. Let's do it tentatively, and then I will make another date if we have to.
Okay, I'm going to set for Thursday at 10 or Friday. Is Friday at 10 better?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's do Friday at 10, and then you let me know if it doesn't work.
Okay, thanks.
All right, I'll talk to you then. You're welcome.
Hey, everybody.
See you, Fred. Thanks for being here.
Have a good one, everybody.
You too, Irving. Talk to you soon. I got to go, Mom. I'd stick around and talk, but I got things I got to take off and do.
I know. Talk to you later. Bye.
Love you. Bye. Well, this is the San Carlos Computer Club. I am Scott Stimson from International Computer Solutions. And if you enjoyed this, you can find more of these kinds of things at sccclub.org. Again, if you're having problems with computers, I could be your solution. Get a hold of me, scott@internationalcs.net. If you're interested in any kind of remote access, well, you can send to our email address, remote@internationalcs.net. Until next Tuesday, I hope you guys have a great week. Check on.